Before Jesus got in command at that time, did he call his name?
No idea.
Can't bring it at all. We just had our local officers. We can't remember who was in charge there or whatever. No. Complete blank as far as that goes. I don't think he was interested enough in the army at that type stage.
How long did you think before him?
Well, as I say, we went down there on the 22nd of the 1st, and lo and behold, on the 26th and the 4th, we sent an armed invocation in. So, which was supposed to be to the 10th and the 5th of 43, but we were called back within 4 days. We still have 4 days to go, and the message returned immediately to Barracks. They were desperate for people over in North Africa, which again turned out to be a farce because we went back and we just hung about in Holland, see if it was just as soon being another one of the cock-ups of the war, as I call it.
How did you feel when you first these
invitations? Desperation, you know, it was shattered. It's funny, you know, Jack was with us then, and left that worthy, and he wasn't sent on invocation leave. And he went to see the commanding officer, yes, to see if he could be commander, and objected to not being put on the draft, and, you know, maybe being a younger soldier than him, less time in the army. And, I went away on leave. When I came back, lo and behold, it sent Jack on leave. So, for a while, but, went on leave and he came on the draft with us out to North Africa. But, it was more or less expected that I was going to get married because Edith and I had been going together for over 2 years. We decided we weren't going to get married because we never knew what was going to happen. And we left it at that. We could have wished and got married, and we didn't. No, well, I don't know. We just accepted it, you know. But the family, my family especially, thought that we would have got married. And oh, yes, yes. Oh, she is. No. He was killed in the colliery. In the colliery. In 1928, yes. She was really put out. I mean, the family was. What could you do? Everybody went to the central station to see me off, which was a nightmare. I didn't want that, you know, but anyway, that was it. Went back to vacation, and another colleague, Tommy Crockett, lived at the factory here at Chesley Street. He didn't turn up, and his wife was at the station. They'd fallen out during the run off on the cruise or something. It was a bit of a lad, Tommy. She was in a state because he thought he would get locked up because he wasn't returning back to Barracks. When I got back to camp, he was there. He got to know somehow when he got back, so that was all right. And when I got back to camp, Jack had been on leave, so. And we were issued with tropical gear, so it was obvious where we were going. We carried these stupid pickaxes all over the trail, you know, and we immediately took off and we got into North Africa. I don't know what happened, but must have been found and stuck out there.
Everybody.
That and the KD trousers and the shirt, you know, that was our first gear. and oh no, they just they got the size hat, that was it. But the KD was all right. Yeah, it was, you know, large, medium, and small sort of type of thing. They weren't bad. When we got back, we were just messing about. We were there. I'm just trying to think what time we were eventually sailed off to Algiers. We hung about, I know, nearly a week. We could have carried on without the.
A few days.
Boarded a train and went down to Liverpool to join the 16th.
A draft
there was. We knew we were going to where they said we were going out to join the 16th battalion. And we were going from Liverpool. And there were 60 of us, I think we're talking about 60 and 5 officers. The officers in the cities all the time. It was Miller, Elliot, who was our ended out as our platoon commander. Jim Sherlock, who was still involved with our old comrades. Charge of a prison down in the country. What his name later. There were five of them that all went out. It was quite a good crowd. And we got on the boat at Liverpool and set sail, and it immediately broke down, didn't it?
Do you recall the name of the boat?
I don't. And I've asked once or twice about the boat, and I've been given it, and I should write it down. I can't remember its name at all. Its engine wasn't working to full capacity, and apparently it was the biggest one in the convoy, a huge ship, and its engine wasn't working to capacity, and it dropped out of the convoy. Now we then took it over to the Clyde, and we were stuck off the Clyde for a full week. And the people were coming on the ship, changing the engine, you know, and we could see the people over on the dock side, as it were. They must have known what was going on. And the tales went round about, well, if you're on the boat more than a week, we've got to take you off, so we'll not be going and all this. But anyway, miraculously, they got the engines going, and we set off, and then the nightmare was. Well, a number of people had sheets out and flags and whatnot there like that as we set off. And we got off into the high seas and there were no tug, weren't there? No convoy. And I had to make it on our own. Nightmare then, as if we'd get a U-boat after us. Well, we had it too, but fortunately that didn't happen. And it was quite a rough ride, I tell you. We went through the bay at Biscay, and we'd been joined now by another one or two boats. I don't know where they came from, but there were a couple or three boats with us. And as we went through the bay of Biscay, there was time we were down in the hole looking over the ship, and the next minute we were up at the top looking down the front of another ship. And nightmare, everybody was absolutely seasick. And Jack and I, and then I don't know who else, half a dozen of us, we put on mess fatigues on the boat. It was our job to go and leave the food down for the whole table and clean them away and whatnot. So consequently, we were exposed to all sorts of things that were going on the boat that were drilling and running around the decks and PT and all this, but we were rescued. Because the sergeant said to us, we were volunteer for that, blah, 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 which we did. And it turned out it was good. Consequently, everybody was being sick. Absolutely. We were in the Mediterranean. And then we broke out on the boat, was sick with me.
Before we get to the end, describe to me the conditions on the boat, and the sickness, of course, you know, sleeping accommodation.
On the deck, we had the very big long table. I don't know if you've ever been on the ship, big long tables, and I don't know, it was about maybe 30 men on the table, something like that, up and down each side, you know. And some men slept on there at night, some slept on the floor, and then there was hammocks slung all over, and you just could not move. The place was full of bodies sleeping all over. I was in a hammock like that. I chose to be in a hammock over the side of the boat. And it was quite a nice boat, really. It was clean. I mean, we kept it clean. We had the daily stunts. And on the way over, we had the officers organize some plays, like, you know, one of these staff plays, and just to check it, keep the mind off the topic. Coach was good at that. He could write plays and stuff, doing murders and this sort of thing. It just kept us busy. But the boat, by and large, was good. The other thing I remember on the boat was a load of Welshmen. First time I'd met a lot of Welshmen. I know we met some at Chester, but not many. But on the boat, there was a Welsh regiment going out, and they were running Tombola all over the boat. They were playing Tombola, just out the only round the bend. No matter where you looked at that, housey-housey, Tombolas are called.
Is there a canteen on the boat?
There was, but at the standard, it was about a mile long. And by the time we got to the house, it was closed because they'd run out of tea or whatever. You know, a nappy. Nappy though it was.
It's
pretty packed, yeah. It's packed, yes. I don't know how many thousands we were on the top of it.
So the deck inspections carried out by the Navy?
They were continuing going around and whatnot, but it was left to the ministry to do the discipline. You know, there's all sorts of regiments on, but we were in Asia or something like that, to fly in somewhere else to fly in. There's thousands of
And you mentioned the healthy house here and the property, the building, and that was delivered to the property. Concerts and
concerts? As I say, we are being among them. We're doing these plays, you know, little sketches and so on. This is very interesting. By the time, little plays that you see on some of these local theatres, you know, theatre groups, you know. One or two of the lads participated and whatnot. I had showers on there, and we spent a bit of time cleaning up to get in the shower, you know. I mean, there wasn't many, but the section that we were, there was three or four, I think, if I remember right, and we spent the time getting the shower, and it was getting warm as you got towards see the Mediterranean, you know. On that boat, it wasn't that bad, really. At a later stage, I'll tell you about the nasty incident we had with the boat, but on that one, it was quite good. It was well disciplined. The sanitation was good, really, for the number of people that were on. It was quite well organised, and the food was good. It was really an unfortunate position of going and getting the food, you know. And, went down and you had a system of tokens, and stood in the queue, you weren't there very long. Each mess table had an attendant that went down and got this, you know. you know, you sort of things like over there, I'd slip you a cup of tea or a bun or something. They were all good lads down there, they made me chat. And you got to know them, it was the kitchens were smashing. Some of them I had to go down and again, the fatigues had them to clean up and whatnot. I never had to do any of that because we were attendants, you know, going for the food and dishing it out.
Oh,
we had one or two boat drills and like to that, didn't we? Had your near west term all the time, as it were. And fortunately, on the way out, we never had any. I think there was one day there was supposed to be a scene like, you know, somebody was firing at it, you know, the exploded. And so that's the only thing we saw. We never saw anything like any action, no airplanes or anything. So we were very, very lucky to get through, you know. The nobody's following the convoy that we've missed, sort of thing, you know. Not thinking nobody's a good idea to send them out on their own.
How long was it then?
I think just over a week, if I remember right, just over a week. Then I went up in the cry for a week, that was it, and our first, it was something just over a week to get there.
And in the mid-training,
it was what? Beautiful, red hot.
Where did you land?
Algiers. We put into Algiers Harbour.
What was
such a beautiful place because, you know, there's all these white houses up the cliffside and first time I'd ever seen anything abroad, you know. All the Arabs begging up on the quayside. I don't know why they hadn't kept them off the quayside, but they were allowed right on, and we were told to watch again and not to get into conversation, otherwise they'd have your socks off you, and they sort of, they would have to, at the first meeting with them, but it was quite an interesting experience, arriving there in a hot car, and sailing along the Med, you know, because early morning, somebody like 3 or 3 in the morning, somebody said to get up on the deck and, you know, we could arrive and we could see the landscape and whatnot. It was really, really nice. Yes.
Before
you,
have they given you any lectures or thoughts about what
you expect? They did on the boat coming over, there was lectures on women and, you know, not to get involved. And it was then that we learned about VD and all this sort of thing. And we were shown the film and this disease, etc. And that was enough for us, you know, put you off for life, I think. it was horrible. But
what happened when you got off the ship?
We were off the ship and I think we arrived there somewhere about the 17th of May, and after getting off the boat eventually, we were formed up to 60 of us, and we had to march. They said it was only a few miles up the road. I later found out that it was 15 miles. We walked to a place called Forge Loo, and there first tasted our first morning after we stopped outside of the wine bar on the roadside, and everybody got in and got by a musketeer, and we understood it was only a little bit further on, but five miles in, it was 15 as I found out it later, and we were there in a transit camp.
Is this just the Durham contingent?
Our Durham contingent, yes. don't know who told them, but they had instructions to go to this area. And it wasn't until I think the next day we went to this transit camp, and it was a rough area. You just had a Nissan hut, and they could give you food and whatnot. And we slept out in the open for the night first time. It wasn't any catastrophe. But I believe it was the next day or perhaps the day after that the trucks arrived from the 16th Battalion, took us up to the area where they were at the Bourne. They'd come over from Tunis to Bourne. And we were in. No, we were there a couple of days, I would think, something like that. And,
was this a long ride?
Quite a trip. I don't know offhand what the mileage would be. But we again, we arrived and we were in a wooded area, and then we jumped to the end of the wood, as it were. The battalion was through the wood, and because it was late in the evening, so it was getting dark, and we just had to kick down where we were. And I had a kitchen stove going, and everybody got something to eat, of course, but and so on, and then we got sorted out the next day with the battalion, you know. But that was our arrival at the 16th Battalion. They'd come down from Tunis to that area, I understand, just the day before, and it was like a long wood, wooded valley, as it were. And we were apportioned into different companies then.
Before they had a bad time.
Well, said your name, had a rough time.
What was the spirit of the battalion like?
They were very down. Lots of them, lost a lot of mates. They'd gone in as raw recruits in North Africa, had a rough time. And some of them indeed, I was told that there were some killed after the campaign. A landmine along the side of the road or something, somebody stood on it. Five or six of them have been killed for this landmine. You might call it an experience, or they wouldn't be expecting anything like that.
Were they telling you what had happened to them when you joined?
One or two of them, yeah, because we, you know, that means mixed in, and so we joined the company. And,
were they blaming anyone for the actions that they made in the day before?
No, not really. Two or three of them that were in the hospital, actually had nasty wounds on the back of healing up them, you know, healing shrapnel wounds. That was the first time I'd seen anybody being actually wounded, you know. This was a mistake. They'd come back from the hospital, you know, back to the battalion. And I remember thinking, well, probably he's badly scarred as that, he should have been sent home. But that wasn't the day you were. Two of those lads were later on killed, but I think they'd had enough from the, you know, the gouges down the back, like furrows, as it were, you know, hot shrapnel.
Had a change in command relatively recently?
Yes, Colonel Preston had taken over then.
Did you say, did anyone tell you what they had been had?
Well, as I say, I wasn't there, and all I can do is what I've read in the history. But, I can't recall anybody saying, you know, that there'd been a couple, that's it. Fair comment. I think, one remark we heard was about the Yanks coming. They'd had a rough do, and the Americans came in, and they said, you know, where's this doggone shooting gallery? And they said, up there. About half an hour after they came, dealt with that, minus their guns and everything. That was one tale, you know, letting you see how rough it was up in that area. But, it didn't give a lot of what had happened, you know. People don't tend to talk about their experience. experiences like that. Occasionally they may do, but at that point in time they didn't know. Might have heard of things later on. I've heard of things at the reunions that happened at Sedgwick Hall, because there was a lot to take prisoner there. Or the family when they were prisoner the rest of the war. Yes.
So you were sent to
B Company? We were taken into B Company straight away. 18th of June, and that's where I stayed until I got knocked out. Captain Duffy. Very good, nice chap. The reason that Andy was good. Good officers, really. I don't recall any of them that weren't worthy of Lieutenant Elliot.
And this is a chap that came out?
That's a chap, one of the chaps that went out with us. Yes, he was good. He wasn't brilliant, put it that way, but I think it was, I don't know, it just goes to mind when I was told it was a bit of a cloud actually later on. I know that the military did cross us and he ended up in charge of the pilot vehicle. I think he hazarded a guess. I think he was nervous and after a lot of enemy action and whatnot. Like it is a lot of people, and he was sort of brought back into the echelon, as you might call it. I'm only going by what I've heard. I don't know, because he was still there when I came away.
Do you remember the platoon sergeant?
They had made peace, he was killed, Sykes, and the Wendell.
They
were all right, yes, oh yes, and a good sergeant, yes. There were corporals made up to sergeants later on. One was a sergeant Thurl, who I'll tell you about later. On the way to Volterna, he died after the nasty action he had up there.
And then you've got the section, and was this your friend that you've been with all the time?
Fortunately, they kept us together all the time, and Lieutenant Elliot did that. He knew we were good friends, and we were more or less called the twins at times, because we were always together. Unfortunately, they didn't split us up, they kept us together all the time, you know. Except when we went to Italy again, Jack wasn't on the draft that went to Italy, and he came up a few days after. But it just seemed to be one of those things, and we automatically put him back into our platoon, you know.
And we were on the Bren.
On the Bren at that time.